the issue is that the piece of legislation went through Parliament last year, for which the underpinning regulations are about to be published. And the understanding is that this will force any adoption agency to give equal treatment to homosexual couples as to married couples.
Julian Brazier is the Shadow Minister for Transport in the British Parliament, but he is also the co-chairman of the All-Party Committee for Adoption and Fostering. He is, therefore, one of the leaders of the struggle against the proposed legislation, which would give homosexual couples equal adopting rights to heterosexual couples. Professor John Haldane, Professor of Philosophy at Scotland's University of St Andrews, also directs the Centre for Ethics, Philosophy and Public Affairs. He comments,
"The situation that we find ourselves in is in part a result of the state taking over more and more of those agencies of provision that historically would have been created and maintained by different church and other religious groups and voluntary associations."
However, in the current issue of adoption, the concern is more often for the perceived rights of adults than the needs of the child. Professor Haldane continues,
"I think it's certainly the case that not only in relation to adoption, but in relation to reproduction issues, fertility issues, all the issues surrounding IVF and so on, that the people talk a good deal now about reproductive rights and about parental rights and so on. Here in Britain, members of the sort of gay groups have been talking about the rights of gay people to complete their lives by having children and so on. So this is put in terms of the rights of adults rather than the needs of children. Now, in saying that, of course, I recognise that there are people who are attentive to the needs of children, but the general framework and the general style of speaking, the rhetoric that characterises this debate, I think it would be more honest just to say row now, is in terms of the rights of different classes of adults to participate in family life rather than the needs of children to have those ingredients in their lives that make it possible for them to flourish.
Yet, as Julian Brazier points out, the Catholic adoption agencies speak with a particular authority.
The Catholic Children's Society are the most successful adoption agency in Britain. They handle one third of all the really hard-to-place adoption cases, and they have the lowest failure rate in the country. 97% of their adoptions last right up till the child is 18. So we have here a very successful adoption agency, but one which would not be able to conform with the new regulations. The effect of this is that unless a way forward could be found, the Catholic adoption agency will be lost.
Naturally, there was a heated public debate.
As a result of the outcry, the government, which still hasn't published the regulations, but has announced that it's going to give 2 years' grace so that the regulations won't apply for another 2 years. And the hope is that during that time, obviously we in the church here hope that someone will think of a compromise. In the meantime, the news is that in Scotland, which has a separate legal system, this problem is not going to arise. So one possibility people are discussing is that the Scottish branch of the Catholic Children's Society should somehow license the others. In the era of modern technology, that may be possible. But for the moment, we have a 2-year breathing space, and that's the position.
But why Scotland? Professor Haldane explains.
Great Britain is a union of historical nations, principally Scotland and England. In 1999, it was agreed that Scotland should have its own parliament, a lawmaking body based in Edinburgh, but that should exist within the United Kingdom. And there had to be a division of powers so that there are some areas in which the Scottish Parliament is able to make law, and there are other issues in which it is not, so-called reserved powers. But in framing that constitution, if you like, insufficient attention was given to the question, what happens when a law made in Scotland conflicts with or comes under superior law made by Westminster? And we find ourselves in the situation of precisely that just now, because the Scottish Parliament, in legislating in adoption on the issue of adoption, gave assurances to the Catholic Church that they would be exempt from the requirement to provide children to gay couples, that they would have discretion in the matter and that they would not be subject to the law in this respect. And those assurances were given during the debates on this matter, and those assurances were given by the main political parties and agreed to by others and so on. But if this new legislation passes in the Westminster Parliament, this equality legislation, then that will override any assurances given by Scottish ministers in the Scottish Parliament. And so we are facing a really quite difficult situation politically, in addition to whatever one thinks about the moral issues, in which, as it were, whose will is to prevail? Is it to be the will of the Scottish people as represented by their elected figures in the Scottish Parliament, or is it to be the will of the Westminster Parliament? Now, constitutionally, how this, or legally if you like, there's no question but that the Westminster legislation takes precedence. And so whatever is done in the Scottish Parliament will be subject to the terms of Westminster legislation. But that then just forces the question, what is the point of having a Scottish Parliament if it's unable to make legislation on social and other policies? Or if having made passed such law, that law is overridden by the provisions of the Westminster Parliament. So that's where we stand literally at present.
So what happens with the Catholic members of Parliament and others who oppose the new legislation?
Well, it's putting them in a very difficult position where they're on the government side, in the Labour Party, because Labour is imposing this with a whip. In my party, it's a free vote issue, and when the vote comes to the House, those of us like myself who want to vote against it will be free to do so. In the government side, they won't be free to do so, although I know a number of backbenchers are going to rebel on it.
And what happens if the Labour MPs vote against a whip?
If they vote against a whip, well, if they are members of the government, if they're front benchers, if they're ministers, they would have to resign to do that. If they're backbenchers, then what happens if you vote against a whip as a backbencher always happens. You get less likely to get promoted and you may face other sanctions. But as in the party system in any democratic country.
The Archbishops of Canterbury and York issued a declaration in support of the Catholic Church.
The Church of England Adoption Agency has said that it will agree to the legislation that would require it to make children available to gay couples. So the Church of England is not pressing on its own account the right to determine whether or not a child should be given to a gay couple. And that no doubt reflects in part the views within the Church of England, which are much more sympathetic to or accommodating of the ideas of gay marriage and so on. That said, the two leading prelates of the Church of England, the two primary sees of the Church of England, that is to say the See of Canterbury and the See of York, the Archbishops of Canterbury and of York, the two leading archbishops within the Church of England, wrote a letter to say that they supported the Roman Catholics' right to a conscience in this matter. So they were not so much aligning themselves with the Catholic view about adoption as saying that it is improper to try to legislate in the sphere where there ought to be freedom of conscience. And at that level they were giving support to the Catholic position. But there is also a further factor that is in the minds of the Archbishops of Canterbury and York, as well as in the minds of the leaders of the Roman Catholic Church in Great Britain, which is today it's adoption, tomorrow it may be schooling, and other social, it may be hospital services and so on. I mean, there are Catholic hospitals, there are Catholic schools and so on. Is it going to be the case that legislation will be passed that would, for example, force Catholic hospitals to refer abortion services or sex change operations, or indeed might even be required to provide those services themselves, and so on. And I think that the Archbishop of Canterbury and the Archbishop of York are mindful of the fact that while on the issue of gay adoption, there may be support for gay adoption within the Church of England, tomorrow it may be some other issue that is of more immediate effect upon them.
There has been generous support from the Muslims and the Jews in Britain.
That's absolutely correct. There was a very good statement put out by Islamic grouping in this country, by the Muslim Council of Great Britain, saying that they supported the principled stand of the Catholic Church and the two Church of England archbishops who supported us on this very strongly. That was particularly generous of the Islamic community because, of course, though they have the same views on homosexual practices, they have a different concept of marriage and adoption doesn't happen under the Islamic system. So, in a sense, it wasn't their fight, and it's one they could have easily ignored, but they chose to say that they just speak out on our side. I understand also that Jonathan Sachs, the prominent Jewish leader, recent chief rabbi, has also spoken out on our side.
Yes, because all three are people of the book and have a fundamental respect for life.
Well, that's absolutely right, yes.
Hopefully, a long-term solution will be found.
The hope is that we can get a long-term solution as well, because it would be very wrong if a really excellent adoption agency weren't allowed to continue to operate within the conscience of its employees. After all, in the whole of its history, as far as they can tell from the records, the society has only once ever been approached by a homosexual couple, and they then, of course, show them down the road to another agency.